the people, and power to the gang. Power to Port Adelaide, where we give our name. And Albert and sons and daughters, and the south.
Welcome to the 1870 Hour, presented by New Vision and the Port Club. Coming to you live on Port Adelaide Fan Radio, a fan-driven online radio station dedicated to the Port Adelaide Football Club. I'm Al, and I'm joined by my co-host, Phelan Marchi, as this week we continue to discuss 1997 with round 13. How about we recap last Thursday's game? Welcome, boys. How are we going?
I'm crap. I've got an ear infection, and I can barely hear a thing.
And I've got a bit of man flu, and I feel like I feel terrible.
Oh, I'm a man flu. Bucks over here, Big Al. Don't worry about that. We're on fire tonight.
Oh, that's because you've been spending too much time in the solarium, my friend.
There's nothing wrong with a good solarium, mate. It's good for you. Make you nice and brown. While summer's not here, you know, you got to work on your tan.
Yeah, I work on my tan, don't I, Al?
Yep, that's why you've got the nickname sometimes, Powder.
I'm flat out like the whitest bloke in the history of human beings.
That's why he has tough stickers to kind of go over the whiteness.
Pretty much. Pretty much that's the reason, man.
Oh, dear. See, some people do tattoos, I do solariums. What's the difference?
Probably not a massive male part of the community that would go into solariums. I didn't know how to word that because I'm on antibiotics and I'm drinking beer.
Yeah, that's a fair call, Phil, but it's a target-rich environment, if you know what I mean, in the old solarium studios.
So what do you do now? They're banned, aren't they?
They are banned.
Did you buy one?
No, I quite often go over to Melbourne for work and they're still operational in Victoria, so I'll duck in and have a look around and have a quick sunbed session. But there's an underground community of sunbeds in South Australia, apparently. So
nice.
Oh, fantastic. So yeah, getting back to Port Adelaide rather than sunbeds. What did you boys think of the game on Thursday?
Oh, I was happy we won. It was, I was a bit nervous in that last quarter. We're up by 3 goals, and I'm saying to my mate, if we kick one more goal this quarter, we've got it done. And then I reckon Collingwood just kicked 2 in a row very quickly thereafter. And, yeah, got a bit nervous, but we got the win. It's pretty emotional. I loved the tribute they did at the end of the game. I thought that was phenomenal. But, yeah, good win.
How good was Ollie Wines, just quietly? His first quarter was just absolutely off the hook. It was playing like a man inspired, wasn't he, boys?
He will win a Brownlow, that bloke. I have no doubt he will win a Brownlow.
Wow.
Well, let's hope
that's
so.
I reckon he will be Port Adelaide's first AFL Brownlow medalist. That's my call.
Well, you don't get a Brownlow in the SANFL, do you?
No, you don't. I want antibiotics. Antibiotics. Biotics of anti.
Yeah.
I'm just good work.
Yeah. No, Ollie Wines was sensational. The Hoff's first half was second to none. Was second to someone. It was second to Ollie's. It was good to see the Hoff, playing more on ball. We had 22 touches to half time, which is just phenomenal for a bloke his size. It just looked like there was glimpses of last year's Port Adelaide in the performance. Yeah, there were patches where, Collingwood got a bit of a run on, like in the last quarter. But they just seemed a lot more consistent with their approach. They were really hard at it. And they were playing for each other. They weren't playing for individuals, and that was fairly evident.
No, it was fantastic. And Jack Homsch basically didn't give Trav Cloak a sniff. He just basically cut him out of the game and still gave us rebound. It was a pretty special game because Trav Cloak has had a tendency to give us a bit of trouble from time to time, and he just, really blanketed him. And I don't think he even had a shot on goal. So it was pretty good to see. And then if Chad could...
was in the competition. He's a spud. Don't like him. Anyway.
Jack Homsch.
No. Cloak. Jack Homsch is a gun.
Hasn't Jack Homsch been a... Hasn't it? Oh, he will not. hasn't he been a good get for what we gave up for him? For him and Jake Need, we gave up
pick
28 or whatever it was for both of those. And, you know, he's gone on to be, you know, you always have to have one really big breakout year, but if he plays like this again next year, it'll be all Australian. Maybe not the Brownlow, but it'll be all Australian.
Just want to give you guys a bit of a heads up. I've kind of got a mate down at the club, he said that prior to the year that we picked up Chad Wingard, like Chad Wingard and Jack Homsch were on the same age bracket, and Port Adelaide was actually considering using its pick that it used on Chad, like its first round pick on Jack Homsch, but he decided to take a pre-selection to GWS, and so we got Chad Wingard, and then the next year we got Jack Homsch anyway. And they could use him right now, but they've given us for pick 28 him and Jakey Need. It was probably highway robbery, in my opinion.
Who's your mate at the club?
I'll give you this. I'll keep that to myself, my friend.
I reckon your mate at the club's just working with hindsight, to be honest. There's no way.
I think he's winding you up, mate.
It's the biggest stitch up of all time.
But, he's been a great player for us. Hey, guys. I never reveal my sources.
Homsy was not going to go pick six, mate. I love the bloke, but he wasn't.
Okay, if you actually had a look at it prior to, because GWS took it, he was considered one of the top players going around. Top junior players going around.
Your mate's winding you up.
So they gave one of the top players going around a year prior away for pick 28 and then threw in a set of steak knives as well.
Hey, guys, I'm just doing what I've been told, and this is a person that works at the club.
Does he really work at the club, though, Al? Yes, or did you buy a Port Polo top and just say, that's where I work, man.
Is he the cleaner? Nothing wrong with the cleaners at the club. I think they do a great job, by the way.
Al.
Yes?
I don't believe your source.
Nah.
Fair enough. Entitled your opinion.
Sounds
opinions
like
are
your
like
source is past its use by date.
Fair enough.
All right.
This source has been very reliable.
Sorry, Al. Anyway.
No, that's all right.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit what you boys think.
He was good anyway.
Yes, he was. Good old Homschmeister. Who else was in your best players, Alistair?
We had the half. Well, Chad was in the best. If he could have kicked straight, he could have nearly been best on ground.
He's on fire again, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. The last month's been fantastic.
Yeah. Well, he's that exciting player again, got that X factor going. He doesn't need to get bloody 30 touches because he can just kill you with 15.
Yeah, he can. And if he'd kicked straight in that first quarter, game would have been done and dusted then, I reckon.
Mm. That is true. But no, he's a jet. I love Mr. Wingard, but I think pretty much any Port supporter does, so it's not really saying too much.
For someone that's not been playing great football the last, like, probably 6-8 weeks, even the season, Gus had a pretty impressive game. He was actually, like, quite offensive with his play, rather than being that lockdown defensive forward.
He played further up the ground as well, from what I noted.
We've got those uncomfortable silences happening here again. Or is that just me? We've been doing all right for a while, but then there's that stop and it's like, is someone going to say something? It's difficult though, isn't it? When you're not looking at each other, so you've got no idea. Is the sentence finished? Is someone going to jump in? Do I have to go? Yeah, absolutely. Or like, are we all going to talk at the same time?
Yeah, that's and that does happen, unfortunately. So yeah.
And I'm half deaf at the moment, and I'm really conscious that I've probably got that deaf voice happening because I can't really hear myself.
Fair enough. And any of our listeners, if they have any views on who should, who was their best players for Port Adelaide on Thursday night, we'd love to hear from you. Tweet us at Port Fan Radio or comment on the Facebook at Port Fan Radio. It'd be fantastic. But was there anybody that really disappointed you on Thursday night?
No, to be honest, I'd probably had a few too many cans in the corporate box and I can't really remember much. I'll be really frank with you. Yeah, so I'm out. Yeah,
well, I'm not usually one that pots a young player.
Oh, here we go.
But you're talking to the club.
Matt, the bloke, I've got to have a... I spoke about this on the forums, etc., but Carl Amon. Squibbing a few contests. It was Loney-esque. Nathan Loney-esque. He pulled out a contest, and I'm like, you don't deserve to wear that jumper. You need to be subbed, and you need to go home now. I was so furious. The first time it happened, but I think there was like three occasions during the game that I'm like, you need to go hard, boy. And like, it might be a learning experience because he's only played like four games, but... My goodness, it really disappointed me, and it's not something that I expect from a Port Adelaide player.
I think that's fair, though, because I do remember at least one contest on the wing there on the eastern side where he had to go. He had to go, but he just pulled out the last second and looked like a scared little boy out there at that moment.
Yeah, I think it was disappointing.
We can forgive him. Sorry, my son's just decided to run up to me again. He does this every Tuesday. Now he's run off. Now I can focus. I wasn't really listening to anything that was happening then.
Oh, so you weren't... Okay. I was just talking about
Carl Amon bagging.
Yeah, there was Carl Amon bagging. And, but he's got the opportunity to redeem himself, and I don't think that people like Kenny and Michael Voss and... Kari, you're going to stand for that, and there'll be some man conversations that'll happen as a result, and hopefully he has an opportunity, to redeem himself. So
the thing was, I guess from the night, like I was really happy with the ins. Like O'Shea was solid again, and it was good to see that we didn't just go with the old fashioned. All right, let's bring Kane Mitchell into the side again. We actually made some braver decisions at the selection table and really, most of those boys stood up.
It was a bit controversial, though, wasn't it? Like the changes, there was a fair amount of people on Twitter that weren't overly happy with the ins and outs. And I think on paper, it probably didn't look like a stronger team. But the bottom line is the team that have been out there haven't been getting the results. So
you're going to play blokes in form, don't you, Phil?
Yeah.
Like, that's it at the end of the day. You're going to be in half-decent nick. And hopefully blokes like Jonas go away, spend a couple of weeks away and come back, refreshed and revitalised for the last month of the season and can really have that input. And look, now those sort of things, those sort of decisions actually put some pressure on spots, which is what we've been craving for the whole year.
Well, I know O'Shea was a point of bone of contention because he'd been playing terrible football for the Magpies. I actually got to watch an SANFL game in the SANFL showdown, and the pies that Mr. O'Shea was serving up were pretty cold and terrible. And I was like, how can this bloke, the only game that he's played in the last few weeks, was terrible, and then he gets a call up, and he was awesome. He was really good down there, and I was like, "Well, Kenny knows best, and can we trust?"
Some blokes play to the field, though, don't they? You play to the standard. The standard of football that you play against is sometimes what you put out yourself, and some people, just need to play at that. They're average SANFL players, but then you put them into an AFL side, and they're stars,
I'm
Paul Puopolo's a prime example.
Awkward silence again.
Yeah, you're
well,
there it is.
And there was Nick Stevens. I remember back in the day, he was okay at SANFL level, and he got an opportunity at AFL level, and he was awesome. So,
We don't speak.
Old Nick Stevens, hey? That poor bloke. Well, not poor then,
bloke. Oh, that poor bloke.
He's a poor missus.
Yeah, but and then there's Matthew Lobe, who was average and like comes into AFL and can dominate, or not dominate, but be really
serviceable. Well, he was average on the weekend, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had a bad back.
I think we nearly need to ditch the two ruckman strategy for a little bit. Because it's fairly obvious that one of them's not right.
Well, I don't know. And this week, I reckon, is an opportunity to really stretch Adelaide by having the two ruckman if Lobe is fit to play. Because I reckon that we can have Lobe that can go against Sam Jacobs and then get the chop out. And if you have Paddy Ryder against Jenkins in the ruck as a second ruck, we're going to dominate there. And then you're going to force someone like Talia to play tall.
So what changes would we make this week then? What are you boys thinking from that perspective?
Eamon out.
Yeah, but who in?
I'm really...
Kane Mitchell.
I'm not sure, like, who you bring in. Do you bring in an Aaron Young?
If that's what's going to happen, you take, you know, Amon out and put in a Kane Mitchell, you know, I'd rather get the time into to Amon, to be honest.
Let's not be under any illusions. The season's done, right? Like, let's hope that they get on a winning streak and we can make finals, but we've got to really have a bit of an eye to the future at the moment, and I reckon you're on the money there, Phil. You'd probably prefer, you know, your Archies and your Amons to get more game time and to play just about every week than, you know, someone like, you know, bless Kane Mitchell, but I don't think he's going to be on the list next year.
I said this probably a few weeks ago. There's not one person on the Port Adelaide list that I dislike. But Kane Mitchell is one of those players I would prefer him not to be in the team, because I think if he's in the team, we've probably got a few injuries or a few players out of form. And that's not saying that he can't play his role when he gets a game. And I reckon his little outburst at the Port Nord game made me like him even more. I thought that was gold. Yes. It's like, I feel bad for occasionally having a few too many drinks and having a go at you.
If he could kick, he'd be in the side every week.
Wouldn't he? Yeah.
If he could get his disposal right, he'd be one of those blokes that would, you know, have 20, 25 every week. You know, getting the best players every week. He's won the Sandover medal in WA. Yeah, you don't win best player in the competition if you can't get the footy.
Mm.
So he can get it, he just can't use it that well.
Yeah.
Brody Atkinson.
Brody Atkinson, a girl at work, has the biggest crush on Brody Atkinson and has had since she was a little girl. And she told me for her 16th birthday party, she had a cake with Brody Atkinson on it.
That is the most random thing ever. Is her crush on Brody Atkinson more than mine on Darren Smith, though? That's a question I don't know.
Oh, Darren Smith.
I'd have Darren Smith jump out of my cake.
Oh, no, Brody didn't jump out of the cake. It was just like one of those...
I'd take it to the next level with Smithy. I'd hire him to jump out.
Yeah.
A pair of jocks.
Yeah, good one, Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah, way to make it awkward.
Yeah.
Awkward silence coming up.
Let's get the silence going. I've got to ask a question, guys. Did you guys go for Adelaide on the weekend against West Coast? Were you genuinely hoping that they'd win given the circumstances?
Yes, I did. I felt awkward about it and I felt a little dirty, but I was happy to support them and hope that they got a win for their coach and just for everything that they're going through. But yeah, I did feel a little awkward and dirty for doing it.
Yeah, I did too. If you have a look on my social media accounts, I was certainly supporting them.
Oh, look at you. Why don't you just say, Phil, could you send me a friend request? That's what you're getting. All right, Marchie, I'll do it.
Definitely supported the boys and Yeah, but I won't be supporting them this week. You know, I just hope that you know, they're all okay and we can start talking about some footy.
Yes, for me, like I did want to support the Crows. I really did, and I publicly was saying yes, I am. But there were points where, like, I was out with my beautiful wife, just in case she can hear me, on Saturday night, and we're at the casino and we're watching bits of the game, and we'd had Labor winning, and I'm like, oh, that's good. That's good. But when West Coast started coming back and Josh Kennedy had a shot at goal, and deep down, I kind of wanted him to kick it. And when they're losing, I wasn't massively upset. When they lost and I saw them, I felt terrible. Does that make me a bad person?
No, because like when they were losing, I was like, oh, that's not very good, but like I'm not that fussed about it. Like I'd like them to win. Like I wasn't like, go, Paddy, go. Like I was like, I hope
no, I'll
win.
never be like that.
Like I just, I don't know. Like I wanted to be passionate for them. I wanted to want them to win.
Yeah.
But I think deep down, to put it into context, if the Crows were up by 5 points, Kennedy as a shot on goal siren sounds, I would have been deep down hoping that he kicked it. But then would have said to everyone, oh, that's terrible. Good honest showing.
The thing is, like, the first quarter, I watched the first quarter in a bit, and I just didn't want him to get blown out of the water. Because the first 10 minutes, it's like, wow, these guys are going to get... It looked like they were going to get rolled by 100-plus really easily. And I guess my hope was that they just put in a solid performance, which, you know, I think they did. In the circumstances where they probably didn't train much in the lead-up. They, you know, probably did some light sessions and whatnot, but probably didn't really get out on the track much. You know, so I think in those circumstances, they made a decent account of themselves.
Yeah, no, I agree. I definitely didn't want him to get blown out of the water. And, you know, it was probably the first week where I was walking around and seeing people in Crows, Guernseys and stuff and not having evil thoughts in my head about wanting to...
That's the hard thing at the moment, isn't it? You walk past and you see people in Crows gear and I guess the showdown's going to be an interesting feel this week about, you know... Because every time you go, you usually find a Crow supporter that sits two rows in front of you that you get stuck into that throws knitting needles at you. But the thing's going to be this week that you're not going to know where to look. That's going to be the hard thing. And I think there'll be a really strange atmosphere in the ground this week.
I reckon we'll move on quickly, though. I can't see this being something like... In 12 months' time.
No. It's, agree.
The community, like it does, we do sort of move on. Like even with the JMAC thing, there was a lot of goodwill from other clubs towards Port Adelaide when that happened. Very similar, I think, to what's happening with the Crows now. And, you know, you're on big footy and you know, there's a lot of, you know, everyone agrees you're part of that footy community, but they move on pretty quickly.
No, for sure.
Speaking, you're not but... going to, yeah. Anyway, sorry.
No, that's all right. I was just going to say, like, this week the Crow supporters are going to share their apricot slice with us, and then next year they'll be throwing it at us. So, like this week we've got a bit of, there's emotion and that's involved, but once that ball bounces and those boys cross the line, they're just another opponent that we want to beat, and it doesn't really matter what happens. Before and after and memories and all that stuff.
And that's the concern, isn't it?
We need to be ruthless.
That's the concern this week. That's the risk, isn't it? The risk is that we go out there and we go, geez, you know what? We feel sorry for you boys. Because we do. You know, it's good to see on social media that, you know, some of the boys are all getting together. I saw on Jarman Impey's Instagram account the other day that they all went out to dinner with all the Indigenous boys from the Adelaide Crows and whatnot. And you just hope that on Sunday, that goodwill kind of not dissipates because we want to still play in good spirits, but they're hungry for the contest and they don't go soft on them.
Mm. Yep. I don't know what's going on with you at the moment, Marchie, but you can be dropping in and out. You go,
and there's some heavy breathing going on as well.
Yeah. Sorry, what are you looking at on your computer at the moment? No. I don't know. Like, do you know the one thing I think it sort of put into context? Because I felt really bad. Like, I obviously didn't do the show last week, but like everyone, you know, it was devastating to hear about Phil Walsh. And then, you know, I went through my Twitter and there was a point where I was a bit abusive towards, not directly towards him or tagging him or anything like that, but towards a comment that he made that, you know, he'd worked Port out and yada, yada. And then you feel bad because you're like, that's not very nice what I said. But I think, like, the thing that puts into context with me is, like, I was spewing when he left. And, you know, there was out of any club to leave us and go to, why the Crows? But at the end of the day, you know, you see that he sent, you know, Kane Corns a message on his final game and, you know, stuff like that he still had relationships with the boys. I think it's like the equivalent of, you know, us working at Optus and then got a better offer at Telstra, so buggering off there. Like, you'd still be mates with all the blokes you used to work with before. Stick their middle finger up at you. At the end of the day, he had an opportunity, went to another club. But we sort of look at it as supporters as, you know, you're a trader, no one would ever talk to you anymore. But they're still all mates and, you know, it's a job for them.
And the rivalry between Optus and Telstra is just very similar, isn't it?
But that's the thing, is that it's a job and...
you're a smart ass. Bring back Foxy. Where is Foxy anyway?
Happy birthday, Fox.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, tomorrow he's having a family dinner with his mummy and daddy. They've come down from Narracourt to spend it with him, which is lovely.
I better send him a message then. So it's tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow.
I'll forget.
That's all right. You're a bad bloke anyway. You didn't send me any birthday wishes for me on Sunday. Bollocks,
mate.
I did. Nah.
You know I did.
Never.
See, there's an etiquette thing around like that on social media. I don't wish anyone a happy birthday on social media. Stuff ya.
What's the etiquette though? Like that
I don't know. Like, how annoying is it on your birthday? You've got 125 notifications. Happy birthday, mate. Hope you have a good one. Oh, all right. No worries. I'm at work, you dickhead.
You're an angry man. I'm sitting there by my phone like that. So one day of the year that I think people kind of like me. I'm like, oh, that's nice. Oh, I did send you a message. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Happy birthday, legend. I even called you a legend. And you liked my comment. Sunday at 6:39 p.m. Boom.
That was after he's probably done the generic thanks for all the birthday wishes.
Yeah, he's done that
message. And shit. Then you've gone, shit, I forgot. Bang.
You best do that then. So how old are you now, Al? 36?
Yeah, buddy.
Getting old.
Yeah, don't have as many greys in my beard as you, though.
It's irrelevant. I'm classy looking.
Distinguished.
Yep. Mm.
The Richard Gere look without the hair.
Yeah, it's kind of crap. I've gone, so I'm bald. I've got grey in the beard, and now I'm getting bloody the crappy hair coming out the ears and the nose and stuff as well. And crazy bushy old man eyebrows in the morning. Gonna get up.
It's all good, boys. It's all
luckily
good.
Luckily, I'm buff.
That's right. Now we've got our weekly quiz brought to you by the 1870 Steakhouse at the Port Club. We've got a $20 voucher for the person that can answer Phil's question correctly. So, come on, listeners, and come on, Phil. What's the question this week, buddy?
Okay, just because I haven't had a chance to talk about Darren Smith much lately. How many games did Darren Smith play for the Port Adelaide Football Club? Boom.
Boom. So hopefully we get like 1,000 responses from all of our live listeners. So,
did you want me to go through the tweets that we've got today?
Yep, zero.
Come on.
Come on, I don't know how many we've got.
All right. We've got a couple. We've got a few for today, actually. I'll go through ahead. It. There was a message from Al saying, don't forget to tune into 1870 Hour on Port Fam Radio at 8 p.m. tonight. Yep. There was a message from Port Fam Radio saying, don't forget to tune into the 1870 Hour at 8 p.m. tonight. The full stop, boys will continue to review 1997. And 10 hours ago, there was a thing from Port Fam Radio saying, last night's show is ready. So we've had a few, hang on, one new result. Oh, Bevan, not enough, he said. Darren Smith didn't play enough, I agree. Look at that.
How many did he play for the Adelaide Football Club, boy?
He played 9 games and he kicked 10 goals.
Graham Corns.
And he kicked 4 goals, 5 against Sydney one game. Boom, boom, boom. I love Darren Smith.
Hey, I actually got a message from JT, and he said, mate, I'm 25 and have hair coming out of my ears and nose, so your mate has nothing to complain about.
Yeah, but I don't have any coming off the top of my head. And that's the issue. I could handle the other stuff.
Oh, yeah, and the stylish male has also tweeted in and said, Simon Peddler says hi.
Yeah, what was that? That's in reference to something that happened last week that I missed.
Foxy got on and told possibly the worst story of all time.
Really?
It was a stinker. We were talking about redheads and Simon Peddler came up. And he goes, I was in a taxi.
But I didn't speak to him.
Peddler. He seemed really upset that he didn't play in some grand final. I'm like, oh, okay. No worries, Fox.
That was
the story. But that's a typical Fox story.
Why was he in a taxi with him?
I've got absolutely no idea.
Well, why didn't you ask these questions?
My tip is that the Fox tried to do a runner too, tight ass.
Yeah, Fox has been complaining that he couldn't get free beer in the corporate box on the weekend. On Thursday night, he reckons that he was sitting in the pouring rain and you were nice and dry in your T-shirt and shorts in this corporate box. And
no,
you
I had
see
the
him
suit
from
on.
Below.
I had the suit on, I will be honest. And as the rain was coming down, we were dry. But the attendant walked around and said, if it rains any harder, we'll be handing out free ponchos. That was after.
Marchie, you got to tell the story about your interaction with the Fox on game day. Because that is brilliant.
All right. This is a bit of a stitch up for Fox. But so I was at the footy. He sent me a couple of weird stalkerish text messages.
Did the same to me as well.
Yeah. As I walked into the ground, I went, who's that peasant in the outer? I won't talk to him tonight. Anyway, so at quarter time, we're in the open air boxes in the eastern stand. So just had a couple at that stage and just decided to go down and relieve myself. I'm standing at the urinal, finished my business, zipper back up, and then the old Fox is just standing there. He goes, g'day, Marchie! Goes to give me a hug. I haven't washed my hands or anything at this stage, so I'm just like, yeah, no worries. How you going, Fox?
And then, it would have been a cooler story if your fly was still undone.
Well, could have
so
been.
Let's just say that. So
let's
you
just say that
put
it
away.
Yeah, the mouse was hanging out the house, and yeah, he gave me a bit of a cuddle and said, "Oh, just wait out the front for me, mate." So I'm waiting out the front of the bloke's toilets at the footy. It was just weird, you know. And well, I was staring weirdly at little kids, but that was okay.
Smiling and nodding.
Would you like a lolly? And he comes back out, he's like, oh, where are you sitting tonight, all dressed up? I said, oh, I'm in the corporate box, mate. Oh, you're too good for the Fox. I said, have you been drinking tonight, Fox? And he goes, yeah. He smuggles in 440 mil Guinness cans and just skulls them all before the end of the first quarter. And that was it. That was all she wrote for the Fox. I reckon he went home after that too.
Well, the Fox generally can't handle his liquor, so I've got a few drinking stories about the Fox, which are pretty poor. So,
this is four.
But We've actually had a tweet. We've had an please. Answer.
Is it the Fox?
No, it's not. It's J2 the Fat. And he says, well, Wikipedia tells me Darren Smith has played 343 games for Port and also kicked 456 goals too.
Is Wikipedia always right?
No. Well, this is... We have to speak to the doyen of all things Darren Smith and...
So Phil. Does your number actually include like Escort Cup games and those sort of things there, Phil?
It's just SANFL games.
Right. So that's where this contestant's probably got a little bit skew-if.
No, they're right. I just said Wikipedia's not always right, but they are correct.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to get like Darren Smith's number tattooed to my neck, just 28, and then Smithy on the other side.
I thought you were going to get his mobile number.
I find his weird. Mobile number. I would be on the show. I'd just be calling him all the time.
Oh, so...
Who's heavy breathing? Come on.
That would be me to Smithy.
Oh, that's all right.
Because I'm creepy.
We, mate of mine, whose brother used to play for the Adelaide Football Club, he'll go unnamed tonight, but we used to quite often get on the cans and we had the phone number of Rodney Maynard. I don't know how we tracked it down, but we had his phone number, and on a Saturday night, we'd quite often ring the great man, and he'd imitate that he was actually his brother, and we'd talk to him for probably 2 hours about the good old days.
Awesome.
Anyway, that's better than the Fox's Simon Peddler story, so stick that up your backside, Fox.
Not much better, but that's okay. But we should talk about 97. Like,
acknowledge that we've got to win it.
You're not following the rundown, Alistair.
Oh, I'm not following the rundown. Have I thrown it out? Have I, boys?
Oh, J to the Fat One. So, talk to us about the what he's won out.
Well, JT has won a $20 voucher to the Port Club, so he can get himself a succulent steak, a set of ribs, a burger, a couple of brewskis. All he has to do is come down and enjoy the 1870 Steakhouse, because that's where it's at. I haven't been there recently. Apparently, you were going to go there for your anniversary, but then decided to pull the pin.
No.
We were looking to have a live cross and everything.
Yeah, stuff went wrong. I think he's given his winnings to Nicholas Fox.
Yeah, for his birthday. But, like, let's be honest.
Please.
We can't do that.
No.
We're not doing it. You have to come in and get that voucher yourself. Go down and see Dave Banner down at the club and say, Port Fan Radio, we're talking about 97, rounds 13 through 16. I was the winner of the quiz that day. I knew how many goals and how many games Darren Smith played and kicked for the great Port Adelaide Football Club. So...
Poor Mr. Banner's just going to get stitched up tomorrow, isn't he? All 25 of our listeners are going to rock up saying that. Surely there's going to be a better system.
Well, I'm not sure. I understand it's a question to me, but that's the system that
you just worked
Rick
out
has...
It's been on mute the whole time.
Yeah, we've been on mute for the last 40 minutes, but...
No, we haven't. Our probably has.
That's right.
We're going to talk about 97 because we've got like 20 minutes left.
And yeah, we've still got to talk about the Ashes too.
Yeah, and Marchie's Ashes review. That's right. We might go over an hour tonight, guys.
Nah, don't have time for that.
Yeah, no, Kate won't allow it. No. But we had round 13, we had a game at Footy Park. Port Adelaide played Fremantle.
We won by 15 points, round 14.
No, come on, Phil. So we won 10 goals 9.69 to 7 goals 12.54. Yeah, it was a good. We were continuing to improve and solidifying our place in the eight at the time. So yeah, we ended up. Michael Wilson was best on ground with 32 touches. So yeah, we had 15 kicks, 17 handballs, 32 touches. So yeah, and then Matty Primus was second best, and yeah, he was just dominating in the ruck and giving us first use of it. So, yeah, they didn't really... I think he was going up against Jeff White at the time. But, yeah, it was a good way to, I don't know, get our season on track and solidify a place in the eight, because Fremantle had been in the league, what, 3 years longer than us, and was still one of those young teams. It was kind of like GWS. 1 year. Versus...
They came in 96, mate.
Didn't they come in?
No, they didn't. They came in 95. Get your facts
two.
Right.
All right, two. It wasn't three, so it was... you were still wrong.
That's right. I'm never wrong.
Can I ask a question? Did we keep an eye on that whole Scott Cummings claim that you made last
week? Yeah, it was still going strong.
So we've had one game so far, haven't we? We've had two, but one he wasn't
playing. One game, and he didn't play in that game.
Yeah. No, there was one game, and then there was one game he didn't play in. Just to the people who haven't been listening to every week, which would be silly, Al made a comment at the start of the season that at the start of us discussing the season that in 1997, Scott Cummings was only outscored by another Port player once. I've got deaf voice right now, don't I?
I feel a little bit.
Can we take a moment? I just want to rattle off some of the names in this Fremantle side that are absolute stinkers. Gary Durke. Scott Chisholm, Peter Mann, and my favourite, Matthew Spider Burton.
Awkward silence.
Awkward silence. And then there was...
No wonder we won.
Yeah, Heath Black was playing for him. There was Dale Kickett. He was pretty good. But yeah, there was some pretty average players. Their recruiting was pretty terrible, and took them a number of years to try and turn that around. But, yeah, we had some good young players. We had Nigel Feagett playing for us, and Brent Heaver, and John Rombotis.
Oh, one of my favourites.
Damien Squire.
How many games did he play?
I don't know, I think about two or something. Yeah. This is one of the two. He didn't play too many. Pretty average footy player, to be honest with you. But... yeah, so we ended up getting the win at Footy Park, and we had a dip in attendance. We'd gone from our average like 32,000, we only got like 30,800 to the game, so it was a bit of a dip in attendance. But yeah, it was.
See, in 2010, 2011, we would have bloody killed for that.
That's exactly right, and now it's like that's a bad attendance. We get 44,000 and people say it's disappointing.
So the following week we played Hawthorn.
Yeah, but end of round 13, we were actually third on the ladder.
Nice. Dipped.
So
after that though, didn't we?
Yeah, we had a bit of a dip. Boom. So
why am I saying boom all the time? That's annoying.
I don't know. It's like saying like the chocolates and frothies and stuff that.
Yeah. I think it's the antibiotics. Okay, so round 14, we played Hawthorn at Waverley. We had a very, very average first half in this game.
Only kicked two goals.
Yeah, at halftime, it was 12 goals, 8-80 to 2 goals, 7-19.
So down by 61 points, jeez.
Wasn't looking good, but we kind of made it respectable in the second half, and Hawthorn only kicked another 6 goals, 8. And we kicked another 11 goals, 7 after that point. So still a comfortable win by Hawthorn, but we had a reasonable finish to the game at least.
Scotty Cummings with a lazy 4 goals, 4.
Did anyone else score?
Johnny Rombotis kicked 3 goals, 1.
Nice. Yes.
Little pocket rocket Rombotis. So, yeah, he was only there for the one season before, I think, he went to Richmond. But, yeah, there was doesn't look like Mr. Squire was playing that week. Mark Conway was playing for us that week. Nigel Feagett was playing. I'm just thinking of random players that didn't really play too much for the club. Brent Heaver again. So, yeah, it was... we had
Donald Dickey. If you have a look at our side compared to... you know, like Hawthorn back then. We've got, you know, a lot more players that play consistent footy. You know, like Huskis played for us and obviously at Brisbane a fair bit, but like Roger James, Brendan Lade, you know, the consistency there is there in most of the side. You know, most of the blokes went on to play at least two or three seasons, where you look at Hawthorn even that year, you know, John Hassell, whoever he is, Darren Kapler, Justin Crawford, Shane's shitty brother, you know, there was the makings of our first premiership side there in 97, and most of that side played that year, didn't they?
Well, yeah, and yeah, there was like, I think when our premiership side, I think it was like 9 or 10 from our inaugural list that were in that team. So, yeah, we had Michael Wilson, Gavin Wanganine, Roger James, Brendan Lade. Yeah, so like in this particular game, there's a few guys that just didn't quite make it. Josh Franco and Matty Primus were big parts of that club at that time, but just weren't going to actually get over the line due to injury in 2004. But yeah, it was a really strong group that they got together in 97 that really built for that premiership in 2004. And unfortunately, we could have had more success, but we weren't good enough on the day in finals in those early 2000 years.
True, true.
But it was built for more success. But, so yeah, it was an interesting game, and we made it more respectable, only losing by 32 points. But, yeah, because we basically won the second half pretty convincingly, but just couldn't get it done on the day. So, yeah, when you give up that kind of lead, you really can't expect to win games.
True, true. So the following week, we played West Coast at Subiaco for round 15. And unfortunately, it was another loss.
Exactly. I think we lost 12 goals, 13, 85 to 9 goals, 13, 67. So they won by 3 goals. We were leading at half time by a couple of points, but West Coast were just able to chip away and get the win, which was pretty disappointing. So yeah, it was pretty sad, really.
You're gonna cry out.
We'd set halfway through the season, we'd set ourselves up for to actually make finals, and people were starting to believe. And these games that we lost, just disappointing, because we promised so much that first half of the season and we started to drop away. But Gav was probably best player on ground by a significant margin. Like, he just looked like an absolute champ out there in comparison to anyone else on the field. And he had the ball on a string. He got 24 touches, but people talk about, oh, to have the ball on a string, you've got to have like 30 something touches, but it's the quality of possessions. It's like Chad Wingard, when he's on song, 24 touches from him is like, I don't know, 45 from a Dane Swan. You know what I mean? They're just quality possessions. And yeah, he was just really impressive. And
has Marchie run away or something?
No, I'm still here.
Still there? I thought you'd gone to drop a deuce or something.
Just taking it easy.
Beautiful.
And hey, did you see that Scotty Cummings kicked 3 goals this game?
Yeah, 3 goals too. Gavin Wade, yeah. Thank you, 3. So your thing still goes. What round are we going up to here?
We're at the Collingwood game. We're at the Collingwood game.
Boom.
Is that Eric in the background?
Oh, boom again.
Oh, what am I doing? That's going to be really annoying. Stops
my
now.
Boom. My 8-year-old says boom all the time as well.
Maybe that's why I've got it from my kid. Maybe.
Boom. Is that from Axel or from Eric?
Or I could just have picked up this stupid saying somewhere.
Might have been when you copped that ear infection, you copped that as well.
Dead set, man. You don't even understand how much pain I'm in right now. it is killing. I almost bailed on tonight.
Oh.
I was that close to calling in sick.
Oh, I thought you're the man that's just so tough that never calls himself.
Got home, had to go to the doctors. I haven't even had a chance to like chill with my family tonight. Like, doctors, chemist. They're going to send me to hospital. I said no. I'll brave it out.
Yeah. All right. And, so Collingwood. Anyway.
We win.
We won. Scotty Cummings again.
Only four kicks, four goals. Oh.
Bugger off.
So, I'm like Nostradamus and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Either that or you've just read all the stats already.
Yeah, from a season 18 years ago, but it's not quite predicting the future. We're talking about 18 years.
But you told me that I was wrong.
I didn't say you were wrong. I just said it sounds like a stupid story. And that you've been wrong in the past, which you still owe me a beer for.
That's all right. It's all right. I will purchase you a beer when I come to Adelaide and you actually come and hang out with me.
No, there's no commitment to hang out with you. It was that you were giving me a beer.
Yeah, just rock up, just drop off the beer, drop it piss off.
Drop it off, knock on the door, and I shall drink.
G'day, mate. Here's your beer. See ya. Yeah.
I don't even want that sort of interaction, to be honest, Marty. Just knock and run. Knock, drop, run. Anyway, so
Adam Huskis, 28 possessions.
28 disposals. It's amazing how we can remember this stuff off the top of our head as well. Like, we're pretty amazing that we can just remember the scores, possessions, because we're not reading it.
No. We haven't got it open on our phones or anything like that.
So, yeah, Huskis with 28 touches. As Alistair said, Cummings with four disposals and four goals, not a bad return, and a really decent victory.
Yeah, against a pretty, like, West Coast was still around the mark at that time.
No, we're on Collingwood.
Collingwood, man.
Sorry, Collingwood. Collingwood were terrible. Terrible. Sorry, Collingwood were terrible.
Tony Francis.
They were too. They were. You know, had only won four games. Oh, hang on. No, they'd won seven games at that point, but they had a pretty decent percentage of
115. But, they were the Tony Shaw years.
How overused is that bloke as a sports commentator?
Oh, isn't he? He's
horrid.
Yeah, he is horrid. He's up there with Mark Ricciuto.
Yes, he is.
Do you reckon Mark Ricciuto sounds sometimes like he's going through puberty? He has that voice thing. I wouldn't say it to his face because
he'd knock your block off.
He'd kick my ass, but he doesn't really have a voice that should be in the media, I wouldn't think.
Yeah,
he's got a head for radio. But...
Yeah,
exactly. But you've got but Adam Huskis and Braden Lyle, Michael Wilson were all best players that day. And then good old Flash Fabian Francis was pretty impressive as well, with 20 touches. But what's that?
Wonder if him and Nick Stevens will be having a reunion and hanging out soon.
Well, in the jail.
Mm.
Don't know, maybe.
Anyway. That's it for the games that we're discussing tonight.
Yes, brilliant. It is, and we're still in the eight after the 16 rounds. We're sitting in at seventh, but we didn't have great percentage, which was the big issue for us. We're still below 100% at 99.6 at the 16 round mark. So, yeah, we continue to discuss the season as we go along. But now we're going to do Marchie's Ashes review. Go ahead, right. Marchie.
Thanks, boys. I actually had prepared a fair bit, but I'll just keep it fairly brief tonight. What I'll go through is I'll just go through Marchie's player rankings for the game, and I'll just go through them individually because there was a few blokes that set the world on fire, and there was a couple that Yeah, we'll get to those. So,
Watto.
We'll start with Chris Rogers. We'll give him an 8 out of 10. He showed the way in the English conditions, obviously, in a terrible loss. 95 in the first dig. Just showed that you really need some patience at the crease and everything. Davey Warner, we're giving him a 4. He needs to probably stop worrying about being on Instagram and worrying about his wife, who used to be a town bike, and probably needs to worry about getting in the nets and facing some balls that are swinging around. You know, just like his missus, she's used to facing balls swinging around. He was lucky to get 50 in the second dig and played really average, to be honest. Steve Smith got a start in both digs. Didn't go on with it. We give him a 5. Michael Clark, we're giving him a 3. Made it about himself before the start of the series again by mentioning about his wife being pregnant. He needs to probably just have a look in the mirror and think about the team first. You guys following me here?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm listening. I'm listening.
Any comments so far?
It's good.
It's good. It's fantastic. I'm really loving it. So.
Adam Voges, he did the work in the first dig, but then got himself out. He's got one more crack at it before he'll get flicked for Sean Marsh, I would say. Now, everyone's favourite, Shane Watson.
Tomatoes.
He's got a 0.
Oh, here we go.
I've given him 0. So he fell for the LBW trap twice, once in both innings, wasted a review. He was useless with the ball. No wickets for about 50 runs in both digs. Gone. He's got to be out of the side. It's time for us to stop thinking about a 35-year-old guy who has potential and actually get someone in that's got some and got some ticker about themselves. Shane Watson needs to stop walking around, staring at his belly button all day as well, looking like the most depressed man on the planet. He's a millionaire. He just bought a $6 million property in Bondi.
But he's upset people like you.
And his missus is smoking hot, so he needs to just get on with it.
Do you reckon he's got, I reckon he's got a story on someone pretty high up in Cricket Australia.
Fox said that last week.
There's got to be something. There has to be something.
There has to be. The next one to get the bullets, Brad Haddon. It's time to go, old fella. He's been averaging.
Who are you going
to
replace him with?
He's been averaging 15 with the stick in the last 22 digs out. His keeping was poor. What was he doing? He was trying to carry on like a rock star with that Joe Root dismissal. We had him 3 for 40 in the first dig. Joe Root, second ball, after a big LBW shout the first ball. Big Nick, he's just tried to do the rock star catch and grasped it. Looked absolutely terrible. It's time for him to go back to the Canberra Comets. Replacing him is Phil Neville, probably one of the best glovemen of all time. So he's not the best with the bat, but in the tour game before the Ashes, he got 71. So I think we'll see him come in and take Brad Haddon's spot. At 37, I think it's time to go. What do you reckon, boys?
Yep, absolutely. I reckon he should have. All right, look, he's done all right probably in the last 18 months or so, but I reckon he was pretty lucky to get a call up again. And again, you should be looking to the future. How old is he? 37?
Yep.
Yeah.
So him and Rogers are both 37. Voges is 35, playing his third test match. You know, I think it's we need a bit of the youth in the side. So Neville's about 24. Been doing some great things for New South Wales. Scored a couple of hundreds in the Shield. I think he averaged about 40 in the Sheffield Shield the season just gone. And, you know, the plaudits are coming out saying he's one of the best glovemen they've seen, just the way he takes the ball. So look for him to probably come in, if not in the second test, which he should, then in the third test, because Brad Haddon needs to get down to OPSM and stop trying to carry on like a hooligan and just worry about getting some runs. Mitch Johnson.
What are the bowlers?
So we're to the bowlers now. Mitch Johnson, I'm giving him a 4. In the first dig, none for 100. Absolutely stank it up. Bowled absolute pies. He got 2 for 180 for the match, and he was terrible with the ball. But he got runs in the second dig. So he got 77 in the second dig when Brad Haddon was playing stupid cowboy sweep slogs when we're 4 for 40. Mitch Johnson comes in and tries to steady the ship and gets 70-odd. And hopefully, we all know with Mitch that he gets runs, he gets wickets. So hopefully this is the start of the turn for him. Mitchell Starc probably got the worst fifer I've ever seen, apart from maybe Stephen Finn in the World Cup. He battled through his injury, but he needs to find some more consistency. Josh Hazlewood, I've just put one word for Josh, gun. He's an absolute star. He's going to be our next Glenn McGrath. There you go. You heard it here first on Port Fan Radio. Then we've got Nathan Lyon. We've given him a 4 out of 10. He was really lucky. Yep. He's, oh, mate. He would not get me out. He was lucky in the second innings with the wickets. He got 4 for in the second dig, but that was when England were probably, you know, they knew they had the game in the bag at that point, and just pointless.
He gave us an opportunity. He gave us a sniff
in the first dig. Oh, mate, the quicker we find a leg spinner, the better off we'll all be.
What's that young fella that plays 20 T20?
Well, for us, or used to play for us, Zampa.
Yeah, Zampa. What about, there was another guy that had played.
Nah, Farwad Ahmed will be the next Australian spinner.
Okay.
He's a refugee. He's in the touring side there in England. He'll play before the end of the series.
What about Ashton Agar?
Ashton Agar, not even in the touring party. Good 98 last year, though. That would have gone in handy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
So that's the express version of my Ashes rap, boys. Any comments or how do we reckon they're going to go this week? When Thursday night test starts. Any comments about the selections there?
Well, I'm thinking that. Do you reckon that Lehman will back Watto in?
No.
What will you do if he does? Will you be like? How frustrated will you be? Will I get a text 5 minutes after it gets announced? What the F is going on?
Like, well, yeah, probably.
Because you were pretty devastated last week.
Shane Watson he's just terrible. He's just terrible. He needs to go find something else to do. Surely he'd be better at, like, knitting or something, or just go in the IPL, mate, and that's your lot in life. He's got to go.
And it's annoying, though, because he, in theory, he could have been a gun.
Yeah.
Like, you know, decent enough batter, like reasonable pace. He's just, he's got no spine.
Yeah. I think you're on the money there, Phil. He's just one of those blokes that will go down in history with that dirty word potential bandied around. Like, a bloke who makes his first test 100, getting dropped on 99 and running a single to get 100. I reckon that tells you something about your test career.
I reckon he seems to put himself ahead of the team a bit as well. Like with his reviews and stuff like that. It's like, you know, are you... Look, the bottom line is it probably... We don't want to waste a review on you.
Because
even for someone, even if it's a... Because bottom line is, even if it's not out, you've probably got another 5 runs.
At the end of the day, he's getting a 30 and getting out. Yeah. The cricket club I used to play at, we used to have a theory that 30, you get your name in the paper and you can't get dropped. So I reckon he's using that same theory at the moment, old Watto. But no, he's got to go. His bowling's not up to scratch. He's just lacking that zip off the wicket and he's batting, well, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure at some point we've all seen that video going around on social media. The only fieldsman to ever be given out LBW, where he gets trapped in front of the stumps and the ball thrown into his leg. Just too funny. So, he's got to go, mate. He's out. So, Mitch Marsh in and Haddon out and Neville in. That's it for me.
Hey, Bevan has just tweeted in. Rumour has it Haddon has been told he is dropped and Neville's in. That's from Bevan.
There you go.
That's the rumour going around. But,
Well, hopefully we're on the money because that's what needs to happen, Bevan. I think it's time for Brad Haddon. He's had a good career. He did well for us, 3 years ago when we were over there. But at 37, I think it's time to hang up the gloves. And he's gone on one series too long and probably should have retired after the World Cup from all forms.
Agreed.
Fair enough. Hey, guys, what did you think of Mark Evans' decision to say that they should have suspended Schultzy?
I think it lacked courage. I think he had the opportunity to make the AFL appeal back 2 weeks ago when the incident happened. I think it's time to move on.
It's done.
Phil?
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't see... I think there was definitely some differences between the two actions. I'm surprised Schultzy didn't get a week, but he didn't. I didn't see the point in him coming out publicly and saying what he did.
At the end of the day, we played Sydney 12 days ago. Let's move on, please.
Yeah.
What do you think about Adams's kneeing of the Hoff?
Dog. Dog act.
Filth.
Filth. Yeah. And what do you think about Eddie saying there was nothing in it?
Didn't know that he said that.
Yeah, apparently him and Lingy are having a bit of a spat, a media spat, because Lingy goes, "You've got to be kidding yourself," basically.
I think Eddie should just not comment on anything related to Collingwood, really, when it comes into the media spotlight. I think you should just get on with it and be a host of a shitty game show.
And what do you think of... Oh, did you hear about Herdy's accident?
Mm-hmm. Concussed?
Yep. But still won't have a week off.
Well, will he pass the... Is he going to pass the concussion test that's required for the AFL? Question.
Yeah, I don't know. Is he required to pass a concussion test to be the coach?
Was he trying to get himself amnesia so he can forget about everything that's happened in the last 3 years?
I'm not sure. But, it can't affect his decision-making skills anyway.
I heard that the helmet wasn't the thing that saved him from serious injury. It was
the hair?
It was the big ears. They just helped cushion the blow.
fantastic.
But you know we're into overtime now, my friends.
Oh, well, that's all right, but...
And I didn't even say my gold joke, so we'll...
Okay, come on. Do we have to wait till next week for the joke?
No, let's wait till next week.
I think we need two next week then, Phil.
You have to open and close the joke.
That's it.
Know that Bevan's going to be, crying into his radio tonight if he doesn't hear your joke.
I'm doing it. You guys have to hang around. All right, so a dude's... driving along one night, right? It's about 3 a.m.
And his car breaks down. Has he got Simon Pedler in the car?
No, he dropped him off a long while ago.
Was he grumpy about not playing in the grand final?
All right. Are we done?
Yeah, we're done. Come on.
So he's driving along. Car breaks down about 3 a.m. Goes for a walk. Has to walk for a couple of k's. And he finally gets to this big stone monastery. And he knocks on the door and a monk answers and he goes, "Mate, car's broken down. Any chance I could borrow your phone to get someone to come out and fix it up?" And the monk's like, "Mate," probably didn't say mate, in fairness. The monk's like, I'm sorry, but we don't have a phone. But look, you know, if you want to, feel free to stay the night and, you know, we'll drive you back in the wagon to the nearest town tomorrow morning and they'll be able to fix your car." And the guy's like, "Sweet, thanks for that." So anyway, he falls asleep and a couple of hours later, hears this noise. And it's really hard to describe. It's the loudest noise he's heard. It's the most beautiful noise, yet the most frightening noise. It's unlike anything you could imagine or anything anyone's ever heard before. And it startles him and it just keeps going throughout the night. And he finally gets to a point where he's like, I can't handle this anymore. I need to know what it is. So he gets out of bed and he goes down the hallway and he gets to this massive door. And it's the biggest door you've seen in this monastery. And it's covered in chains and a big lock. And there's two monks standing in front of the door. And he's like,
what's happening behind that door? And the monk's like, I can't tell you. You're not a monk. He's gone, no, I need to know what that noise is. They go, look, I'm sorry. I can't tell you. You're not a monk. So the guy's, oh, well. So he goes back to bed. Anyway, next morning gets up. Monk goes to take him in the wagon. And he's like, what was that noise? I need to know. Monk again, can't tell you. You're not a monk. Drops him off at the nearest town. Guy gets his car fixed. 6 months pass. Every night for 6 months, it's been in his head. What is this noise? Over and over, he can't get it out of his head. So he's like, I need to go back. I need to find out what this noise is. Like I said, guys, this is the most beautiful, scary, awesome, loud noise. Can't describe it. It is unreal. Anyway, finally finds this monastery again. This is like 6 months later, and knocks on the door, and a monk answers and says, and he goes, mate, like, I don't know if you remember, I was here 6 months ago, but I need to know what that noise is. And the monk goes, I can't tell you, you're not a monk. And he goes, well, how do I become a monk? And the monk goes, it's a lot of work. And he goes, I don't care. I need to know what this noise is. So the monk's like, okay, first of all, what you need to do is you need to count every star in the sky. And the guy's like, oh, shit, that's going to be pretty hard. But he needs to know what this noise is. So it's like, stuff it, I'm going to do it. You guys still with me?
Yeah, we're listening.
Yep,
we're
just yeah.
About to fall asleep. Bevan's no, probably on so, the no, edge of his seat. No. But...
Didn't ask for your life story. So anyway, he goes home and he counts every star in the sky. Takes him 12 months. Takes him a year. Probably would take longer than that. But anyway, it took him a year. He goes back to the monastery and gives the answer to the monk. And the monk nods his head and says, okay. The next job is a bit more difficult. So what you're going to need to do is you need to go to every beach on the earth and count every individual grain of sand. And then you need to come back and tell me what that is. And the guy's like, this sucks. But he needs to know this sound. Like I said, beautiful, loud, scary. What was it? Who knows? So he goes out and he does it. He goes to every beach on the earth and counts every individual grain of sand. It takes him years and years and years and years. Anyway, finally gets the answer, goes back to the monk and gives him the answer, and the monk nods his head and says, okay, you've got one more job. I said, I need you to go to the highest peak, highest mountain, and what you need to do is you need to meditate on that mountain until you can tell me what the meaning of life is. And the guy's like, oh, am I ever going to be able to work out what that is? Who knows? I need to know this noise, though. So he goes to the highest mountain. And it takes him years and he's meditating. And finally he has this epiphany and he finally works out what the meaning of life is. So he goes back to the monk. Now, years and years have passed. He's an old man now. And he goes back to the monk and he tells the monk the meaning of life. And the monk's like, okay, you're a monk. I can finally, you know, show you what this noise came from, where it came from and what it is. So he starts following this monk down the hallway and, you know, so many years have passed since this first time he heard the noise, and he's excited and he's nervous, and you know, he's walking along and he's like, oh, what is it? And he can hear it, but he doesn't know. Is it really the noise, or is it just his memories? Is it his mind playing tricks on him? Anyway, he's finally going to find out what it is. So he gets to the big door and the monk grabs the key and he unlocks the big lock, the padlock, takes the chains off the door, opens the door, and finally... in front of him is what made that noise. Do you know what that noise was made by? Do you know what it was?
What? No, I don't know. Do you want the interaction? Yeah, I don't know.
I can't tell you. You're not a monk.
So,
you basically wasted 8 minutes of our time to tell us that we're not a monk.
I reckon that might have been 9 minutes.
So the catch is that monks usually take a vow of silence, so they can't actually tell anyone anything.
Well, that's a fair couple, but that doesn't work in my joke. Okay. So right. The catch of it is I've just annoyed the crap out of you for the last 10 minutes, so you're welcome.
And that's up there with Simon Peddler stories.
That's a stinker.
That's a stinker. That's terrible.
Now that's all I got. Anything else... is we won't be able to beat. I won't be able to say it. We'll lose our volunteer roles on Port FM Radio
due to swearing.
Oh, due to
you, Oh, I thought it was going to be due to, like, the smutty nature of them.
Oh, no, there's stuff I've got that it actually it makes me uncomfortable to even say.
Okay, no problems.
I'll tell you if you're off air.
No problems at all. Well, thanks very much, guys. Now, Thursday night, the Port Adelaide preview show on the Showdown game at Adelaide Oval with Macca, Fisting Rick and a special guest from 8 till late on Port Pan Radio. And next week, we're going to be discussing round 17 through 20. We'd appreciate any feedback or interaction from our fans. Now, hopefully we have Marchie on for his Ashes review. I think we'll just... Do you want to bench the Fox for a while? Because Marchie's pretty good. And he can't handle his liquor, so I'm not sure that... we might have to give him a few weeks off.
He'll be stiff. He'll be dirty.
Oh, he's always dirty. Like, he whinges about everything, so...
Yeah.
You seem more organised than what Foxy is.
That wouldn't take much.
No. You've just... at least opened the website to have a look at the games. Nick's like, throw to Nick. Round 16's like, now you guys talk about it. And then you hear... and then in the background you're hearing...
he's doing Twitter or texting somebody or writing an email.
But he does have good soundboard.
Yeah, he hasn't used it for a long time though.
Anyway,
this has gone way over.
No worries, guys. Well, thanks very much, and hopefully we get a win this week against the Cows.
Indeed.
Go the Power.
Enjoy the game, boys.
Farewell, my friends.
Go the Power.